Blind Cool Tech, October 305. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skudkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Got a couple of announcements to make, and then we're going to get back into user talkback or feedback. We've got quite a bit of material to go through this session, and always do appreciate it because you users have some very interesting information, good information, and some questions that maybe I can't answer, but we'll throw them back out there for the entire listening community to see what they can come up with. First of all, the announcements. We have now created a new mailing list. I mentioned this yesterday, but it was kind of at the end, and I figured most of y'all had been asleep by then. So the official announcement is that if you would like to participate in a discussion list about Blind Cool Tech where y'all can just talk with each other and me, you can send a blank email to blindcooltech-request@freelists.org. And then you will be signed up to the list, and if you wish to send messages to the list, you would just send them to blindcooltech@freelists.org. So there's that. Neil Ewers came up with that idea, and I thought it was a good one. Thank you, Neil. Second announcement. I had talked in a show a few weeks back about starting a podcast of presentations that are relevant to the blindness and visually impaired professionals especially, or just us end users of blindness, I guess you'd call it. And we've got that off the ground now. And you can go to the webpage by going to aph.org/tech/info.htm. Or you can subscribe with the address http://feeds.feedburner.com/training-and-information. Right now there's 25 presentations from the National Family Conference on there, but this looks like a great resource, and hopefully there'll be some good interest for it. So check that out. All right, let's get right into the voicemail.
Hi, Larry. This is Jamie Pauls. I was just listening to the September 25th feedback episode, although I'm actually current, but I was having a little trouble getting that September 25th episode to download, and it finally came down today. In listening to that, I just had a few comments I wanted to kind of try to consolidate here. First of all, in the career submission that I did, I neglected to mention that since about 1993, I've been teaching a music appreciation class a couple nights a week, depending on the semester, one or two nights a week, at a community college in the area. And I love doing that. And whenever after I had submitted, I couldn't believe that I had neglected to mention that. So I just kind of wanted to add that little addendum to my career piece. In listening to your September 27th point of reference episode, I was right on 100% of the time when you were asking about traffic moving front to back or back to front, and I promise I will never mention this topic again. I think we've covered it pretty well. I think we've established that there is something to be said for that, and I think that I will move on. But I just kind of wanted to just point out that, you know, it really is somewhat reliable, apparently. Third thing I wanted to mention was I had actually left you an email that you read on air regarding whether to use SoundForge or GoldWave or what have you. I decided to go ahead and install SoundForge on my new computer. Got into contact with SonyMediaSoftware.com and found out those are some really nice folks there. They helped me to reactivate the program on my new computer. Just a really nice website. Really easy to set up an account and see all of the software that you've purchased, serial numbers, everything is right there. I was extremely impressed with that and just thought I would give that a mention. SoundForge 6 seems to work very nicely on this new computer also. The last question I have for you is, I was wondering if you've ever tried the binaural mics hooked directly to your computer. Since I do not have a good microphone right now, I had actually considered purchasing them, and while I'm waiting on deciding what to do for a digital recorder, I actually wondered if a person could do some decent computer PC recordings with the with those mics. Didn't know if you had ever tried that. The last comment is that of all of the sound seeing tours you've done, I think the Kentucky State Fair is my favorite. It was absolutely phenomenal, a virtual reality experience. In fact, on the roller coaster, my wife was screaming at me when we got done riding the roller coaster because apparently I was making some odd sound, and she thought I was crying or something. And the only thing I can figure is I must have been, riding the roller coaster. I was not aware of making any noise at all. That was such a virtual reality experience, it was almost unsettling. So I think you're kind of on to something here with this whole sound seeing tour thing. Other than that, I think I'm just going to keep listening and enjoying. And of all of the podcasts that I've subscribed to, thanks to your best of the best, I think yours is the best. So talk to you later. Bye.
Well, thank you very much for the comments, Jamie. And yeah, that Kentucky State Fair one was kind of fun. There's so much going on there, so many sounds around you that it makes it interesting. I was telling Liz and Shelley that we're going to have to go do one at a place up in Cincinnati here called Kings Island and try to see if we can't have a little less wind noise, because I think some of those rides could be really interesting just hearing, you know, what's going past you as you're flying around and so forth. So, and maybe we can even try to keep the screaming down just a little bit. with your question about the microphones going directly into the computer, I'm sure you can do that. And I've done that, well, circuitously through the mixer into the line in on the computer. But most computer microphone jacks are actually mono, so you have to be careful about that. So happens this Sony has a microphone jack on the front that is, I think I mentioned this, it's actually programmable. You plug something in, a little dialogue comes up and says, do you want to use it as a headphone, line-in, or microphone jack? And I have not tried it on the microphone. I suspect it will be stereo there, and that would certainly work, and I'll look into that a little further and check that out.
Hi everyone, it's Donna Slater from the UK here. First of all, I just want to say how much I am enjoying these podcasts. It's just absolutely wonderful, all the different submissions that you're getting, Larry. Thanks to everyone for their submissions. There have been some absolutely fantastic things. Thanks to Tim as well for providing information on microphones with the built-in preamp. I just wish that they were available over here in England, because you basically, when you ship them over here, you import you encounter things such as import duties and things like that, which complicates things rather. I haven't quite decided what I'm doing about that yet. One microphone I have seen that's available over here is the Archos or Arcos dynamic microphone with a built-in preamp, as I understand it. And I was basically wondering if anyone has used this. It's meant to be a stereo mic, but I can't find any information about it really at all. So I was wondering if anyone has used it and what their thoughts were on that. Now my next question is, please could somebody explain to me, I'm sorry I'm being so dense on this one, what the difference is between a condenser microphone and a dynamic microphone, because I'd really like to know. And my next question is, if there are any PlexTalk users listening to this podcast, is there any way of doing some simple cut editing? And then basically I wouldn't have to transfer the MP3 file to my computer and cut out bits that I don't want. I could do it all on the PlexTalk. Because as far as I can see, when I copy the MP3 file to my computer, The whole file's still there, even though I've allegedly cut pieces out of it. I think the PlexTalk does it by just taking account of daisy markings and telling itself to skip bits. So I'd really like to know if there is an actual way of cutting sections from MP3 files on the PlexTalk. If there isn't, then I was wondering if somebody could talk about programs that will allow you to edit MP3 files directly and let us know how accessible they are. Now, I apologise if this has already been done. I'm a little behind with the podcasts, but I will get caught up this weekend. So my apologies if this has already been done or if I've missed it somewhere along the line. Okay, well, thanks again for some really, really excellent submissions. I'm so enjoying these podcasts. They're absolutely brilliant. And thanks, Larry, for providing such a great resource. Bye for now.
Okay, Donna. I can answer a couple of those, and we'll have to throw the rest of them out there for the listenership. Those Arcos mics, yeah, I have used those quite extensively. In fact, I believe if you'll go back to the Louisville Zoo sound seeing tour, that was done with the Arcos. I didn't actually get the binaural microphones until, so I believe it was the show called Google Tips was the first one I had done with those, and after that they were done, the sound seeing tours were done with the binaural ones. And with that Arcos mic, you can actually use it with the amplifier or not. It actually unplugs out of there, so you can use it with other devices as well. Now, as far as the difference between a condenser and a dynamic mic, I never realized how intricate the discussion, the topic of microphones was until I started getting into this a little bit too. So I'm not even going to try to attempt that. I've got a good explanation from some guys at work there. And I don't remember all the details, but if we don't get something from one of the listeners in the next few days in response to that inquiry, I'll try to get hold of get either Rob or Johnny over at work to give us a good description. Editing on the direct MP3 files, apparently there's a couple of good solutions. One of them is called Total Recorder. And another one that I've been using a little bit is called Direct MP3 Splitter. So I've not had a lot of luck with Total Recorder. I know some people swear by it. I've had it. It apparently goes down pretty deep into your sound system. So I've had some weird side effects with it that I'm sure if I just took an hour or two to get around, I could get over them, but I just hadn't had the hour or two to check into them. Direct MP3 Splitter, though, is one that you mark the beginning and end of places where you want to split the file, and then it creates as many files as you have marked, and then you can use another program called MP3 Joiner to get them back together. Now, I will say the Total Recorder solution is a cheaper one to go with, because you can do it all in one program, and I believe its cost was $39, I believe, is what I paid for it. So check those. There's demos of both of those, too.
Barry Sportgun, it's Joe Quinn here. you don't mind if I call you that, do you? I can't try and figure any other names that sound like Larry Scoot.
Barry Squirt Gun is the name. Podcasting's
whatever
the game.
It is. A tip and a suggestion. A tip and an answer to a thing. First, if any of y'all maybe already know this, but if you want to skip the annoying little "please send your fax now" or "wait for the tone to record a message," "begin now" or something, and all the little rudimentary crap that you get at whenever you call a 206 and blah blah laser box type-ish number, to skip to the beep, you press pound. That's the hash key, or the key that is just below the number 9 on your telephone keypad. 369-POUND. Actually, I think it also looks like a tic-tac-toe symbol. That's what I heard, too. Anywho, the reason why my CD was not reading the CD text was because there was no CD text to be read. Scan Century lied to me. Actually, they hadn't started this whole embedding or something of CD text in the discs until around May 13th, and I got the version that was on March 25th. So, it's not your fault. I still do want to know what other programs can read CD text, such as, I know CDX can, like I said, and I think Nero can too, which is nice. I found that out. I think that's it. But, I gotta go. My keys are calling me.
Alright, Joe.
Enjoy your teching or something.
Thank you for the comments.
Bye.
Bye. And we'll hopefully have someone that knows the answers to your CD text dilemmas there.
Hello, Larry. This is Petro in Atlanta, Georgia. I love your Blind Cool Tech podcast. They are great. I was wondering if you had a chance to check out the Windows Media Center PC with the JAWS screen reader, like with JAWS 6.0. And if there's any way you can do a new show on the Windows Media Center PC, because it was very hard to hear the speech on that particular old show you did. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, Petro, absolutely. I have not had a chance to try it with JAWS. I'll do that before long. I did have some contact with the WindowEyes people, and they tell me that Beta 2 will probably be supporting Media Center better. So, Beta 2 of 5.5, that is. And I will do another show of that. I was kind of waiting for this WindowEyes support to be a little more complete so that we could have better speech in there. The the narrator approach is just not really adequate, as you saw.
Hello, Larry. This is Tracy Sun from Madisonville, Kentucky. And I just finished listening to your podcast, The Trip to the Dentist, or the Dental Cast, or whatever it was called. And I don't have fast internet connection here. I have 56.6 dial-up, 50.6 dial-up. It took 2 hours to download this, but I was on your webpage and saw this open wide broadcast or whatever, open wide or whatever you listed on there. But well, I'm going to download this and see what this is all about. And so I downloaded it. And listen to the broadcast, and I tell you what, though, that isn't any fun. But to get rid of any toothache or tooth pain, you'll almost go through anything to get rid of it, and it feels a whole lot better when it's all over with. So that's what I enjoy about your podcast. It's everyday situations, whether it's yard work or going to the store or going to the mall or going to the dentist. And people can kind of see into your everyday life, and I think that's just more enjoyable than anything, just get to take a look inside of somebody's everyday life, learning about their experiences. So anyway, enjoy your podcast, and whenever I'm at a friend of mine's house that has a modem or a cable modem, I download as many of the broadcasts as I can, listen to them. And when I come back to Madisonville, I'm stuck on a dial-up, so I'm limited on what I can download on the dial-up. But I couldn't pass this dental excursion up. So Thanks much, and keep up the good podcast. I enjoy listening to them. Thank you.
Well, hey, Tracy, good hearing from you there. It's been a while. Yeah, that's download. These things were not meant for dial-up, I assure you. That two-hour download, that was probably longer than real time, wasn't it? yeah, you're right, though, about everyday experiences. And you know something I didn't realize when we were doing this? We've had some comments from people in other countries that are really interested to see how the experience, for instance, just in the grocery store, was different than it was in their country. And love to get some everyday life situations like that from some of you over there in Europe and Africa and so forth. I think it would be fascinating.
Hi, Larry. This is Alan Madison. You know, something's changed on your subscription page. I somehow now cannot find a way to subscribe using iPodder. Your thing seems to have been taken over by other other meanings, like, you know, no, I can't think of them now, but it's too early in the morning. Anyway, I use iPodder 2.1, and I can't subscribe to your page. Can you do something about that? I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I think what's going on there is that the subscriptions, the subscribe link at the top of the page just might open it up in Internet Explorer for you. And there's two things you can do. You can either hit Alt-D to put your focus into the address bar and then do a home and a shift end and a control C. That will copy that address. Then go over to iPodder and paste that into the new dialog. Or you can look, if you keep looking on those links at the top of the page, there is a contact link, and it's got the address listed out, which is http://www.blindcooltech.com/bct.xml. So check that out. And by the way, the address to subscribe to the list is also over there on that contact page if you missed it in this audio. Okay, gosh, I'm realizing that we're missing. This is what happened with Mike Busboom's last time. So let me go ahead and open.
Edit box file. Look at I. Adam Morris career.mp3 window. Edit box. File name
and. Actually, I want my documents.
Look at I. Up one level button. Look at I. Pod. 404 combo box. Pod. Local disk. 3 flop. My computer. My documents too. Go to last. Look at I. 206984. Feedback and questions.mp3. 206984920310. Feedback. 206984920.
Hi, Larry. This is Stephanie Lenari. I'm a blind college student in Tempe, Arizona. And this is how my voice always sounds. I don't have a cold or anything like that. This is just my voice. I just wanted to say I just found your website last night. I downloaded all your soundscene tours because I think they're really neat. And I love your digital recordings. I have a mini disc recorder like yours. In fact, it's a Sony MV model, like the one you reviewed. I'm not sure if it's the exact one yet, but I'll let you know later. And I loved your tours of the Galt House and the Exhibit Hall because I went to the convention too. I was actually at the Exhibit Hall the same day that you were. And I remember that because right after I got back to my room, the fire alarm went off, and I had to go right back out. And I think, I don't know yet, I'll have to check the tour out first, but I think you might have gotten my friend Arielle Silverman on there because she was working at the NFB store on the day that you were doing your tour, so I'll see if she's on there or not. It's neat to think we were in the same exhibit hall together and we didn't know it. Anyway, I just wanted to say I love all your tours, and I like to do the same thing with my disc recorder. Take it around and record my own little sound seeing tours, so I might just submit one to your site, see what you think.
Well, please do.
My email address is,
Well, we won't pull.
20694.
Hi, Larry, this is Jamie Paul.
20694.
Hello, Larry, this is Petro.
Barry Squirtgun.
Hey, Larry, this is Hope from Ohio, and I was just wanting to let you know that your podcast is great. It's amazing. I actually did not really get, really start listening to your podcast until July, because actually, to tell you the truth, yours was the first that I really ever discovered, and now I'm kind of hooked on that whole podcasting phenomenon thing. So that's thanks to you and lots of other people, Adam Curry now, and I also wanted to say thanks for just your. I love how informative your podcast is. I love the sound seeing tours. I just love that. That is just awesome. And now I have only one item on my Christmas list, and that is the book port. And that's it. I'm going, please. I want one so much. And I didn't even know about it until your podcast, so there you go. But no, it's just you, your show is great, and I think it's just really great that you have so much that I think it's so diverse, and that, you know, you never know what's going to be next. Just like, you know, really makes you go, it makes you kind of eager for the next one, and you're going, can they hurry up and post? So, thanks a lot, and your show is awesome. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, thank you, Hope. I'm really glad you're enjoying it, and that's the way we want to keep it, have it a little surprise where you never know what's coming next.
Hi, I am listening to your podcast where you, Rob, and Steven are talking about Bookport and Book Courier. You did show that Closing the Gap 2003, because I saw the Bookport and Courier at that show, came home that weekend, and purchased the BP online. Perhaps it was even you that showed me the device. Chris.
It might have been, Chris.
All voices down. All voices down.
We actually have quit going to Closing the Gap now, so hopefully I'll see you and some others at one of the other conferences this year.
Hi, Larry. Someone on the Feedback Podcast asked about converting WMA files to MP3. I use a handy little program from www.alivamedia.net that will convert a lot of different file types to other file types. The interface is a little quirky. For example, in a list of radio buttons, you often land on the last button in the list. But once you figure it out, it works quite well. The program I have is the Alive MP3 WAV converter, but it does much more. My copy is a few years old, but it works fine. You have to purchase and download it from the internet. They email the registration code. I don't recall paying too much for it. Thanks for the info about the DS2 and how to delete a file. I haven't been able to get the DSS software to do much except move files to and from the DS2. Everything seems to be unavailable. The registration code is valid. Maybe there's an adjustment I don't know about yet. Thanks for the great podcasts from Mary Bottom.
Hey, Mary. Yeah, I have found that software to be pretty well useless myself. That is the DSS software that comes with the Olympus. In fact, on this new machine that I'm using now, I don't even have it installed. And I actually like it better that way. I just plug in the device and it shows up as a drive and I can just move the files over. So it works out quite well that way.
I am sorry I did not give you more information about the Lucerlex. I was in a hurry that day. The program is a DOS program that can repair all the SOPI 5 speech engines when they become distorted or just plain unusable. There really is no interface to this program. You just click on it, and it will do its thing. There is also no way to really know when the program is done. A good rule to follow is let it run for about 5 minutes, then just exit the program. Gary Glossinger Bottom.
Okay, Gary, I was wondering what that was about. Thanks for clarifying that. And for those of you that will recall, I was asking about, Gary had sent me a link to this program that clears up SAPI 5 engines, and I guess I'm going to need some more. I haven't, I guess, realized that the speech was getting distorted and so forth. So if you or any of you other good folks has some more information about that, do let us know.
Hi, Larry. I don't know of a blind person in this kind of position, but that sure doesn't mean they aren't out there. She may want to contact the instructors at Vista College and TX. They have done a lot of research on placing certified transcribers and proofreaders. Perhaps some of their research can guide her.
Okay, and that was also in response to an inquiry I had made about your letter, Lisa, about a transcriber who is blind, or the feasibility of a blind transcriber. So you might want to check that out.
Message. Larry, here is a link, http://www.eogier.com.
Well, skip that.
Hi, Larry. I have a couple questions. My wife and I were considering buying a DVD camcorder to keep memories such as her niece's first Christmas. Now, thanks to you, we decided not to waste our money on the DVD camcorder. Smile, we both think we could invest our money in a good digital recorder and stereo earbuds like you have. We are both amazed on your sound seeing tour. I am considering an iRiver HD model, perhaps a 20GB one. Do you know if the iRiver HD based models have stereo mic jacks like the one you are using? Thanks for your assistance. Keep up the great job you do with the podcasting. I stumbled onto your podcast from the Bookport list, and I never knew what a podcast was until recently. Once again, great job. Chris G. Chris Gaxu.
Okay, Chris, I don't know the answer to that. Perhaps one of you out there, Jim in particular, I know you've got the HD model. Let us know what kind of inputs are in there, whether it's line-in level that you have to amplify with a microphone amplifier, or if you actually do have a microphone jack on it.
Hi, Larry. I've got a friend in Pennsylvania who has a Bose Wave radio. I will burn an audio CD and send it to him to try. Should be interesting. Great job. Got another friend in Pueblo, Colorado. I'm making a letter cassette to as I type this. We'll send one to him also as he's looking to upgrade recording equipment. Love it. But don't ask me to help with the bill, okay? There's a limit to my enthusiasm only equal to my small bank account. G. Dick, Donna.
Oh, this was in reference to Open Wide.
Dear Blind Cool Tech, after doing a little research with my web statistics program, I found out that blindcooltech.com refers to website for the Digital Media Cast Experiment podcast. Finally, the facts seem to fall into place. A few days ago, a gentleman named Neil Ewers called my office asking about some information he had heard about in my podcast. I wasn't available at the time he called, so he left a message on the answering machine. I was both shocked and honored that someone would go through all the trouble to find the number to my business just to ask me a question about my podcasts, and that the person making this effort was blind. Wow, he must have really wanted an answer. One thing that Neil said was that he had heard of my show on the podcast, but when he said the name, the less than stellar audio in my answering machine kind of garbled it, so I didn't recognize the source. Neil and I had a very nice email exchange, and not only was I able to answer his question, but he pointed me to a new piece of gear that looks really great. The thing that ended up touching me by the end of all of that is this podcasting thing, this thing that I'm not sure if it's really business or hobby or ego trip was actually helping people. Here is a guy who depends on his hearing for much more than I, or just about anyone I know, and I could suddenly see that in podcasting, blindness doesn't really matter, everyone, sighted or not, was getting the same impact from the same show. And I was actually helping to promote this stuff. Then, to top it all off, a guy who depends on his hearing more than most was coming to me for answers. I could not have been more pleased. I almost got emotional in the middle of my office. Fast forward to this evening, when I find that blindcooltech.com is a site that refers to my podcast site. I went to your site and found the podcast with a reference to the Digital Media Cast Experiment, and then heard Larry Scutcheon's comments about the show. I had to stop working on what I was doing to walk around a little. This goofy podcast I'm doing is actually helping someone. You really made my day. I hope that shows to come work well for the people of Blind Cool Tech, and now that I know you're listening, I'll see if I can work in more useful items for the seeing impaired. Most of all, I'm honored that the Digital Media Cast Experiment makes a difference to the blind community. Thank you for listening. I'll try to keep the show useful. Michael Carino, Digital Media.
Okay, that was, I think I had mentioned to you guys that I got a letter from Michael Carino, and the more I've listened to his show, Digital Media Cast Experiment, the better I like it. So if you haven't had a chance to tune into that, his webpage is dmcex.com, and you can catch his link from there. It's really good stuff.
Hi, Larry. This message is for Donna Slater, as well as other PTR1 users. Donna, I love your accent and your sound seeing tours. Secondly, you might try looking on the Sound Professional site. They sell a number of line-level preamplified microphones. In particular, the SP Booster model looks pretty good. It's about $100 U.S., and it's very small. I'll put the direct link to it at the bottom of this message, so Larry can post it on the site. http://www.soundprofessionals.com jibingoldidomspbo.
Okay, I did post that in the section under microphones in the frequently asked questions link, so check that out if you're interested, and thanks for the info, Tim.
Hi everyone, does anyone know of some good, accessible backup software that copies files from one external disk drive to another without any proprietary formatting or compression? I have been using Double Image by Host Interface, and their old version 3.30 was perfectly accessible with JAWS, but they changed everything with version 5, and it's a mess to use. I am rather particular about backing things up. I prefer incremental backups, which only copy files to the destination if their size, time or dates have changed, and I delete files on the destination that are not on the source. In other words, I like everything synchronized between my two external drives, because that's where I store my personal information. The old software I'm using isn't really designed for XP, and it quits before finishing a backup. Any ideas would be very welcome, and would certainly help other users as well. Thanks, from Mary Bottom.
Yeah, Mary, I know you got another message in here in a minute with some more information about that, but I also want to point out that I've been using a program called Copy 2 Plus, and it's Copy 2 TO, Copy 2 Plus Synchronizer, and it is, I looked long and hard for something like this too, and it was the best thing I found to date. Now, they did a similar thing when they upgraded. They made it a little less accessible, although it's still very, very useful. The thing that they did was that there's a preview pane, so after you give it, you know, what you're doing, it pops up a list of the files that'll be affected, and you could just arrow through that. And it was very nice to make sure that you knew what was going on. Well, the new one isn't to the list. All you get is numbers, but you can use the reading cursor to see what the files are. It's just, it still works fine. It's just not nearly as convenient. And I'm planning on doing a demo of that software at some point. I find it highly useful. And if you get a chance, well, I'll wait till I get to your other message to ask you that.
Hi, Larry. Grant here. I have some feedback for your podcast regarding Eric's comments about the Bookport's note-taking functionality. I, too, am usually very confident with regard to reading user documentation and remembering all the commands. However, when reading the Bookport's note-taking documentation, I was immediately intimidated, too. The first problem is that it doesn't use two logical commands, example space with C say line, space with dot four move down the line, dot I've heard this is a hardware limitation, but don't really see the difference between that, and space with F for the find feature. The second problem is that the keys on the Bookport's keyboard aren't really very logically arranged in note-taking mode. From memory, for example, I think the second row is something like escape, left arrow, up arrow, down arrow, right arrow, enter, dot or something like that. So, not only remembering all the commands, but remembering where the keys are on the keyboard is a difficult thing. Finally, the appendix for the Braille keyboard isn't too clearly defined. For instance, in the section on the Find feature, the manual instructs you to press F chord on the Bookport's Braille keyboard to enter Find, then type in Braille the text you want to find, then press Enter, wait a minute, dot F chord, type in Braille, enter, what on earth is it talking about? Only upon searching the rest of the manual, does one discover that there is in fact an appendix on using the Braille keyboard. Perhaps that could be made clearer. First problem is that it doesn't use two logical commands, example. And of course, the computer Braille is rather inconvenient, but certainly something we could adapt to. Although, would it be possible to input in at least grade 1 Braille? Would that be a strain on the hardware? I see how it could be somewhat impractical to sync notes between the Bookport and the computer using that method, though the transfer software could probably produce perfect ASCII text from grade 1 Braille. Just some thoughts. Having said that, the Bookport is the greatest piece of technology I own. I bring it everywhere, I use it constantly. I love the note-taking function as well as every other brilliantly developed feature. And I'm not trying to be unkind or discouraging with my comments, I'm merely writing as to why people might be slightly confused by this function. As always, keep up the tremendous work on your podcasts. I'm about to listen to the one where you get dental work done. That's always so much fun, huh? Thanks, Grant. Bottom.
Okay, Grant. Very good points. And I'm extremely disappointed that there are hardware limitations that didn't let us use exactly what commands we wanted. So we tried to make things as logical as we could make them, given the restrictions we had to work with. One thing that I think might help, too, is to, and I already did one of them, and I was going to say to do a couple of training sessions on using the note taker. You're right, I'm going to go in and clear up that manual, too, this week sometime. But we just did one, a podcast that is this week about introducing the Braille keyboard. So you might check that out, you and Eric both, and probably there's a lot of people confused about this, and I'm glad y'all brought that to my attention, because it's a complexity that we shouldn't have to deal with. As users, I mean. Us developers need to deal with it, obviously. So I appreciate the feedback there, Grant, and we'll see what we can do to make things a little less intimidating.
Hi, everyone. Well, Larry, you can disregard my question in a previous email, because I found some very accessible backup software which can be used to backup external drives, synchronize laptop to desktop PCS, and a lot more, but I don't think it will work for backing up your C drive, because it may not copy open files. The software is called Synchromagic, as in synchronize magic. It's spelled Synchromagic. It uses standard radio buttons, checkboxes, dialogues, and menus, but for radio buttons you would have to turn on your mouse cursor or JAWS cursor to explore the screen. It's shareware, but there is a 30-day trial version available. You can go to http://www.gelosoft.com to learn about it. That's GELOSOFT. On that site is a link to Rose City Software, which markets it and has lots of additional information. You can preview what the results will be before you even get started backing up, and you can go in both directions, either choose to cinch the source with the target, which is the usual way, or the target with the source. All the files on the target can be viewed via Windows Explorer, and they are exactly like what you would see on the source, so there's no funny proprietary formatting or compression. I use the program to back up one external drive to another. The program isn't the quickest in the world. It took about 10 minutes to back up 358 files, but it definitely worked. You can make it play a sound to signal start and finish of a backup task. The documentation is in the online help. Registration is on the program menu to the right of the help menu item. License fee for one license is $29.95. Hi, I hope this helps somebody out there. From Mary Bottom.
It sure does, Mary. And I was mentioning a little bit earlier about the Copy 2 Plus synchronizer. If you would, it'd be great to get a little demonstration and a review of this synchronizing software that you've discovered here, because I know you and I aren't the only ones looking for this kind of stuff. I use it a lot for taking work back and forth from home to work. You know, if you've got a big project going, and I actually use flashcards now to do this. I used to use CDRWs, but it's, you know, obviously it's kind of redundant to copy the whole folder over and over again each way when you might have just changed two or three files. So that's another good use for this type of software.
Hi, Larry. I really enjoy your show. I have a question about the recording solution. What kind of external microphone are you using in your podcast? Since I am a musician, I am really interested in buying a low-budget recording equipment for my live concert. I think your recording with iRiver IFP-899 with external stereo microphone is very impressive. I am sure the iRiver IFP-899 with external stereo microphone will help me to make some decent recording for my concert. By the way, is it easy to transfer the recorded material from iRiver to the desktop computer? Keep up the good work. J. Bottom.
Okay, well, the information on microphones that we use is on the Frequently Asked Questions section of blindcooltech.com, so check that out. One thing I will warn you about with the iRiver and recording concerts is that there's no automatic gain control when you're using the external microphones. So you may want to be aware of that. I'm trying to find someone to review the Olympus WS200S, which is like the DS2 we've been talking about, except that it gives you 4 hours of recording, and the DS2 does give you an automatic gain control ability, which works quite well, actually. So that's my only caution there. But yes, you can use it as a disk drive. You have to upgrade the firmware from what you get it from the factory. But yes, it works quite well. I use it extensively.
Hi, Larry. Terrific work on your podcast, I must say. I am a high school student. Like many blind people today, I'm integrated into a regular high school system. My questions are as follows. Can you tell us a bit about your own school career? Were you integrated into a regular system? If so, what were the main issues, concerns encountered? For example, here are mine. Firstly, getting work railed on time, and secondly, being accepted by the other students. I was wondering if you have any advice, or could put the call out for other high school students to give their input. Or is this too young for your podcast? Thank you, Bob Bottom.
Bob, those are excellent questions and some really intriguing points. I want to tell you there's a message coming up here in a minute about a high school student who has actually started his own podcast and has done a soundseeing tour of going to school even. So I'm going to give you the URL to that in a minute. But yes, those are very relevant questions and issues. I mentioned I did a career cast yesterday and mentioned I really wasn't visually impaired when I went through high school. I was in college, and that could actually make a good segment as well. But you bring up some excellent points about the acceptance and you know, that's quite a bit different situation than it is in high school and college. I know in college I had absolutely no issues with that at all. Everyone was very, well, at least everyone that wanted to be was very friendly to me and accepting. But, you know, as we all know, the high school scene is much, much different. So, yes, any of you high school students out there, I and Bob and many other listeners too would love to hear about your experiences along those lines. And this issue you bring up about the textbooks is a very pertinent one as well. It's an issue that in the field that I work in we're very aware of, and it is so difficult to get anything done about this, but there are some efforts underway that hopefully we'll make this a little bit better. I just hope it can be during your high school career, but hopefully it'll actually be during your educational career. You'll be able to see some of the benefits of this. And things are, believe it or not, getting better. They're quite a bit better from when I went to school 20 years ago. And I'm sure they'll be better in the next few years. But, you know, it just can't happen fast enough, I realize. And please do provide us with any additional information or any other questions. You're more than welcome here, not too young at all.
Hi, Larry. First, let me say how much I enjoyed your dental podcast, although I do sympathize with all the discomfort you had to endure. It's always interesting to find out how things are done elsewhere. Even dentists seem to have different attitudes and ways of practicing in our respective countries. I'll maybe try and record my next visit to the dentist for you. Next, with regard to the microphones, your recordings did not clip at all when you wore the microphones properly, and on most occasions I got the car directions right. Having said this, I would hate to block my hearing with microphones, and quite honestly your recordings were stunning when you were wearing them incorrectly, so my thought is, wear them in whatever way is most comfortable. Now on to my question. I would really like to submit a recording on my education here in the UK, my career, my hobbies, etc. It would be about my life in general as opposed to simply a career profile. Also, I am just in the course of setting up my own business and I would like to talk about this, and possibly get a few opinions if that's okay. I'm not wanting to advertise as such, but I think a few of your listeners might be interested in what I am going to be doing. If you would prefer me to not discuss this, or would prefer me just to talk about my career, that's fine. Perhaps you could let me know. Incidentally, there will be another soundseeing tour on its way soon. With regard to microphones, I have a few questions, so I will submit these in a separate MP3 file.
Okay, that's from Donna Slater, and you'll be hearing her, I'm still calling it career. She did go into a lot more detail, and I love it. I really, I like the hobbies, the background, and would encourage all of you to do that. I did it a little bit with mine. She really did it quite a bit more, and I think when you have a listen to it, you'll agree it was very informative and quite interesting. And appreciate the submission, Donna. And I love your accent, too, by the way.
Hi, Larry. Just wanted to drop you a line and say how much I'm enjoying Blind Cool Tech. I've only just gotten into podcasts and just now finished listening to episode 135 entitled Submissions. It was quite amazing listening to you as you walked to work. The stereo sound was quite incredible, especially as I've just invested in decent speakers and amplifier for my PC. I felt like I was really there with you. I do believe the microphones are now working better, and the left-right channels do now seem to be correct. I thought the frequency response was a little improved as well. I'm seriously thinking about doing some submissions for the show. However, it may take a while for me to get things together. For one thing, I don't really run Windows, but instead use Linux. While I've always been able to find solutions to anything I want using Linux, it sometimes takes a bit of work, and even some innovative problem solving, to get things sorted out. I'm also in the midst of sorting out some job-related issues. Currently, I'm employed as the manager of a data center. This was supposed to be a 2-year position, but now the time is up. They want me to take on the position on a permanent basis. The problem is that at heart I'm a programmer, and more technically oriented than managerial, and I'm missing being more hands-on. However, my employer really wants me to stay, and keeps offering more and more to keep me in the position. All this means I don't know yet what amount of spare time I'll have available, and therefore what I might be able to contribute. One of the reasons I'm so interested in the podcasting is because my first career was in radio broadcasting, and I have a bit of a soft spot for this sort of thing. I'd like to combine my two passions, broadcasting and computing, and if I can find the time and resources, I will certainly think about what I might be able to contribute. At this stage, I don't even have a basic microphone and have no real idea of which software and what configuration will be required to produce a podcast under Linux. It should be an interesting project. Given my experience with Linux, do you think anyone would be interested in something in this area? If not, possibly a programming area? Not really sure what might be of interest to listeners. I'd love to do a sound seeing tour, though as I live in a fairly small university town, I'm not sure what I could cover of interest. Maybe try and just get some characters with thick Australian accents just for a laugh. I have to say I've also really enjoyed the career submissions. You mentioned you might do one on your own career, and I think that would be really interesting. I also think this fulfills a valuable social role. I'm 44 years old, and was at school during the period when they thought students with a disability needed to be in a special school rather than within the mainstream school system. I was advised that the highest career I should aim for would be something in a sheltered workshop or low-level administration ec. I feel these career podcasts are good. Tim, thanks. Encouragement to keep up the quality pod through and I anyway, regarding a career in that, where blind or vision are good because they reinforce the message that just because you are blind or vision impaired, you shouldn't lower your expectations regarding a career in that, where there is a will, there is a way. Anyway, I'm sure your inbox is filled with many other messages to get through, and I just wanted to thank you and possibly provide additional encouragement to keep up the quality podcasts. Thanks, Tim Bottom.
Okay, Tim. I'd love to have some submissions about Linux and programming both, and you bring up some excellent points there. I'm not a good one to gauge what people would be interested in, because some of the things I've recorded, I thought, well, nobody's going to want to listen to this. This is going to be pure rubbish. And it turns out that people enjoy that kind of thing. They like, well, like you said, some sound seeing tours around your town there. Just even the smallest of things, like, you know, to going to a grocery store, for instance, we were just talking about here in the U.S., you know, it's a different experience than it would be in other places. One thing I'd like to do, too, I know, and you may have an opportunity to do this, is to just go into what we used to call mom-and-pop grocery stores. You don't see many of those around anymore. But that was a totally different experience than going to Walmart or whatever. So, Linux is of extreme, you know, if us listeners are not interested in Linux, we should be. And highly encourage you to submit some pieces to the show and share with the rest of us, career-wise, tour-wise, Linux or programming or what have you. Appreciate the feedback.
Hi, I am pleased to report that the DC Night Out blog and podcast has resurfaced, or rather has been updated more regularly. On the DC Night Out podcast, we make a recording usually from a restaurant at happy hour. Topics discussed often include technology, accessibility, podcasting, current events, the travel industry, popular culture, and what is new with each person, often including links to interesting products or services. We have about five or so people that regularly participate in the happy hours, typically on Tuesdays in Washington, D.C., but a number of others join in periodically. Besides happy hours, the site has also published audio coverage of our local Beep baseball team practicing in Boston, and of a Save RSA rally in Washington. On the random side, I have interviewed the owner of my local bagel shop as well on one podcast this summer. In the most recent podcast, Jamal Mazru offers a detailed overview of some of the public domain programs he has recently released, including WinDig, PDF-to-Text, and the JAWS Script Exchange. So the topics are quite random and varied, but the above gives you a good flavor for what you'll find. You can access the blog and podcast at http://www.nightout.com or subscribe using the following.
Okay, that's dcnightout.com for those of you that are not that good on catching speech synthesis. And if you'll go check out that webpage, it sounds like a good podcast. And I know I'll be subscribing.
Message. Hey, Larry, I really like your podcasts. I feel like I have a friend. I am wondering why I can't access the, when I click the link Braille rap song, I get the following message: Windows Media Player cannot play the file. The player might not support the file type, or might not support the codec that was created by this.
Now that was a weird one. If any of you have had that trouble with the Braille rap song, try downloading it again. I had the artist information in there. I had listed all the people that sang on the song, and apparently Windows Media Player didn't go for that too well. I just changed it to the first person in the list and began working again, and I resubmitted it to the podcast media site there. So if you haven't checked that out or had that trouble, give it a listen. It's a very cute and interesting song.
Dear Larry, my name is David Law, and I very recently began listening to your podcast. Foremost, I believe what you are doing is a force for tremendous good and encouragement to those of us who are blind, low vision. Your sound seeing tours and third-party submissions are great. I especially enjoy your outdoor and walking to work podcasts. I've started to compose and post a series of articles entitled Gradients of Sight, focusing on coping with and overcoming the process of sudden vision deterioration. Just something I thought you might be interested in. Some people MGHT find it useful even. The website address is www.gradientsofsight.com. Link, let me know what you...
So that's gradientofsight.com. Let's go ahead and spell that out for you.
Of sight focusing on vision in the website www.gradientsofsight.com.
Okay. All right, appreciate the information, and we will check it out.
Message. Hello, Larry. I have a client who wants me to upgrade his Windows 98 machine to Windows XP. He has all his billing files for his counseling business as WordPerfect files and DOS, and uses ASAP to access them. When XP first came out, I kept hearing that you really couldn't run DOS screen readers and DOS software in the command prompt, but I have been hearing little bits of info saying that it is possible. You mentioned on one of your podcasts that it is possible to run ASAP in the XP command prompt. Can you give me any tips on how to make ASAP, and maybe even WordPerfect 5.1 run in the XP command prompt? I will only have one day at my client's home to convert him over to XP, and I'm worried about how things often tend to take much longer than I plan on. Any tips you could give, or guidance to such information, would be very appreciated. Bill Bellubop.
Hey Bill, yeah, when I got your message, I went and tried this out. It's been a few years since I had, and it actually worked better than I would have imagined. No problems at all. I didn't try WordPerfect, so you may run into some issues there. But I hooked a DoubleTalk LT synthesizer to COM1, installed ASAP, and just, ran ASAP, LT, COM1. Now, the odd thing is I was not getting DOS output. I imagine we could fix that with the switches equals C /C statement in config sys. I didn't go through all that, primarily because I think your interest was more in the direct screen access from WordPerfect. And I ran the old DOS editor called Edit and read a few files with that, and it worked great. I was quite impressed. Must be some good software, huh, Bill?
Hi, all. I'd be interested in hearing from people like Larry and anyone else who is currently using remedia.org to host their podcasts. I like the idea of the uploading tool that's used, plus it's free. I don't mind using Libsyn, but I am not all that fussed with FeedBurner anymore, and I'd be interested in hearing from people who publish using remedia.org. Is it easy to set up a feed there? Do they do your XML feed, so you can simply give out the address for the folks to put into iPodder? Do you get a blog page like with Libsyn.com, so people can download the MP3 files manually? Thanks to anyone who can advise on the above. Also, how easy is it to move an existing podcast over to remedia.org and just upload the old podcasts, and they will be available for those who want them? Thanks. Bottom.
Okay, this is, they actually do make an XML feed available. I have chosen not to use it for various reasons, but there's also a blog page and direct access to the MP3 files over there. So, yeah, that's all possible. Probably what you want to do is read the frequently asked questions section of the submitting, publishing your media link on the Our Media page. And I think most of the info you're after will be right there. Once you upload one or two of them, I think you'll see a little bit clearer about how all that works.
Message. Hi, Larry. I love your podcasts. I have had this idea for a bookport product that app might make available for sale, and I thought I would share it with you. Well, actually, I have two ideas. One is based on the fact that I have a Roadrunner. Could the Bible be made available for commercial sale for the bookport? Some folks may not have the tech savvy to download it. Also, could app put some of the old reliable cookbooks, such as Cooking Without Looking, Food at My Fingertips, and When the Cook Can't Look, on a flashcard, and make them available for sale for bookport users? Does app not own the rights to reproduce these books in specialized format? The cookbooks, that is, just a thought. Is there anyone, maybe Matt Campbell, who could do a demonstration of the Freedom Box? Keep the cool tech stuff coming. Sharon Fridley, Program Consultant, Information and Referral Service for the Blind Division of Rehabilitation Services, State Capitol Complex, PO. Box 5.
Okay, Sharon. Those are good ideas. Unfortunately, I don't believe APH owns the rights to redistribute those works because they record them on contract with the National Library Service. Those would probably be the people that would have the redistribution rights, but I will check into that. As far as selling the Bible for people that don't know how to download it, that's certainly a possibility. Probably, I don't know, it would probably be prohibitively expensive because you would have to you'd have to sell it on a flashcard, and that would be your cost. But those are good ideas, and I've asked Matt Campbell about doing a demonstration for us on the Freedom Box, and hopefully he'll respond to that. Thank you for the good ideas there.
Hi, Larry. I am just wondering if you know if the IRV IFP999 is accessible. It seems like this unit has replaced the IFP899? Thanks. The more I want to get something done, the less I call it work. Richard Bachrig.
I don't know. I just heard of this 999 last week. I was thinking the T10 and the T30 had replaced the IFP series, but apparently there is also a 999 that I don't know anything about yet. If some of you have some information about that, please do let us know.
Hello, Larry. This is a neat website and well put together. I just wondered if you have someone who does the maintenance of the page for you, and if you had someone put the page together for you, or you did this yourself. It would be nice to get into a little playing around with building of web pages, but I really have not had that much luck finding a web page editor that suits me and has all the stuff I am looking for. One editor I downloaded has basic tags, but does not have more of the advanced HTML tags you see on web pages today, like the span and NBSP and other fancy stuff. Also, there are no pre-programmed scripts in there for changing colors, mouse out, or mouse over commands. Good old fancy stuff like that. One time I downloaded a program called Coffee Cup Editor, and this program was not accessible with a screen reader. I think a lot of the commands, and tags you had to drag, and drop into the editor window, and it was all graphic, and no accessible controls, so that program was totally out. The name of the program I have is DidaPro. Have you heard of that? It's put out by Faco, and they have two products on their webpage, the HTML editor, and some kind of Flash editor program. Let me see if I can get the exact URL for that page, and I will submit that later to you in another email. In this program I think there is a place to manually insert other tags and HTML commands that you might want to use. Hello. Also, there are no pre-programmed scripts in there for changing colors mouse out or changing color schemes is not the easiest thing to do in this program because of the controls are not easily accessed. I don't know a lot of HTML code, and I would rather use some type of HTML editor and pick up on some HTML code as I go along. What do you use for building web pages, and are there inexpensive web editors out there that have a lot of these difficult tags and scripts that you can just insert into a document? Thank you, Tracy Sun. Bottom.
Hey Tracy, good questions. I might not be the right one to ask this, because on HTML, I'm of the old school. I really prefer doing it in a regular text editor and not use any of the web building programs, and I write any scripts. I also write those by hand. Now, that's not to say that there aren't some scripts, some snippets, as they call them, of scripts that are out there that could be useful for some situations, but I really prefer doing everything by hand. On my web page, I actually have a script that generates the web page from a database. There's another question, and I hate to do this on this show because we are running a little long, but let me show you how this works. So I'm going to switch over to my Trackit database.
Inbox out studio record my document. Trackit line cool tech 104.
And
keywords. Larry Scutcheon career. 140.
Okay, now I've got the last one I submitted was Larry Scutcheon career. Now I'm going to add another one. And this is also in response to Scott's question about how to do the uploading of one of these podcasts. So if I go over, I've got another, I've got a submission from Donna Slater about her career.
Combo.
So I'm going to open that folder where it
desktop, is. Pod, studio recorder 14. Adam Morris career, combo edit, Adam Morris career, TDL, Donna's life 5, Donna's life 6 .mp, TDL background
.wav. Wait, maybe I've already put it over here.
Desktop. BCT. BCT 147 Larry. BCT Grocery Addendum.mp. Room. BC. Pod. Pod. TDL. Adam Morris Career. Lisa Hall. Donna Slater Career.mp. 3 size 34.
Okay, now I know this is going to be number 148, so let me rename
File
it.
Edit box.
Call it BCT 148. Donna Slater's career.
BCT 148. Donna Slater Career.mp. 3.
And I'm going to move it to the BCT,
BCT
folder.
BCT, BCT, BCT 125.
And it's moved. Now I'm going to go into Trackit.
Pod, Trackit line cool tech 104.
Enter a new issue.
Edit box. Type the keywords for the new.
It's Donna, Slater, Carreer.
Trackit line cool tech 146.
And now it's we enter the information and we'll say Donna provides information about her education and career in the UK. And we'll go ahead and save that.
Okay. Oh, button. Trackit line.
So now
keywords.
We've got
Donna Slater career 147.
Now what I need to do too, I need to change
issues. Edit.
Something in here.
Donna provide 10-3-2005 Larry.
So instead of this being Larry as the submitter,
Y-R-R-A-L.
I'm going to make it
A-L.
Donna Slater. And we'll. Now
Donna
we need to get Well, I'm going to do something now that's actually going to create the ID3 tags from that information for this file. So,
keywords.
And it'll also give me the size of it.
Dialogue. Graphic. 33.8281.
So 33.82.
Bracket
so we'll call
line,
that 33.8.
Results 3 billion.
So we'll go
keywords.
Here.
Non-slate. Issues. Edit box.
And add 33.8 MB.
Space.
33.8 MB. Okay.
Keywords.
Now we've got everything set up in our database to generate the web page, which I can do with
dialogue,
another command.
Line, cool tech one.
And here's the new web page.
Subscribe, frequent submit contact heading 1. Donna Slater career link. 10-3-2005 Donna Slater. Donna provides information about her education and career in the UK. 33.8 MB. Heading 1. Larry Scutcheon career.
Okay, so now we need to upload that file to our media. We'll
desktop,
do that.
Omni records, plays, and navigates Omni or Media Publish.
With the our Media Publisher tool.
Or Media Publisher. Next button.
We hit enter twice.
Browse.
And then go to browse.
Combo.
And I'll type C colon back BCT.
BCT 148 Donna Slater career.mp3 1 of 145. BCT 148 Donna Slater career.mp3 title BCT 148 Donna Slater career artist Donna Slater album Blind Cool Tech year 2005 track 148 genre podcast cover no duration.
So you can see that the ID3 tag info was filled out for us there. So we'll go ahead and tell our media that this is what
our media
we want.
Publisher. Delete. No. BC. Previous. Next.
And then here's some information about the copyright stuff
license
that we'll
class.
Leave.
No. Previous button, next button. Edit box. Creator's name.
Creator's name, I'm going to put my name.
Combo. Edit box copyright holder. Donna Slater 1 of 1.
And it took the Donna Slater from the artist field of the ID3 tag info.
Edit box copyright year 2005.
And it took the copyright.
Edit box. Posted by.
Posted by Larry Scutcheon. Did I spell that?
Larry Scutcheon.
Yeah.
Edit box. Title of work BCT 148 Donna Slater career.
It took the title from the ID3 tag info too.
Edit box. Description.
And I'll say career profile.
Edit box. Keywords.
Keywords. I would just put podcast and blind cool tech.
Work format. Video 1, audio including
I'll
music.
Change that to audio.
Previous, next button.
We're essentially
edit box,
done
copyright,
now.
Combo, edit box, previous
more
button.
About copyright
next button.
That you should read.
BCT 148 on the slate, previous, next. Our media publisher has collected all the information necessary to publish your file. Previous button.
Misspell necessary.
Next button.
Okay, now it's on its way up now. So that's the process of actually posting a new podcast to the site. Now, there is one other thing I have to do, which I'm also going to automate. I would love to automate this whole our media publishing tool. But I also have to put the URL in the database.
Bracket line, cool tech
so
one
let me do
report.
That now.
Keyword. Issues. Due date.
And it's http://www.archeive.org/dodnlawd/larryscutcheon/bct148/donnaslater Donna, whoops,
space.
SLATERCARREER.mp3. Need to automate that part,
C-pro-t-s-dot-a. Blind Cool Tech Solution 100. Donna Slater Career 1.
So now when I generate this page.
Yes, why, but track it. Blind Cool Tech 100.
We'll, when our media finishes uploading, we'll test it and make sure that it's up there and it's got the right URL, and then I'll show you how we publish this page. And in the meantime, while it's uploading,
our media publisher,
go back and finish our email. Let's get our status on this.
Our media publisher, uploading to our media, Uploading C Pro BCT Disk BCT BCT 148 Donna Slater Career .mp3 4. Previous button default.
So it's got 4% done, so it'll be a while.
Track it line web editor quest T.
There's
web editor question.
All right, let's go to the next email. Good questions, Tracy. Thank you.
The message is ready to be sent with the following file or link attachments top and bottom setting in window eyes help.txt.
Oh, yeah. You had sent a message about how to get rid of that top and bottom message in window eyes, and that it didn't work. That was the same suggestion that Bill Ballou had provided for us. If one of you could try it sometime, just give us some audio recording of how you're doing it and like the before and after, because I already had that checkbox unchecked about the top-bottom index, and I don't think that's it.
Hello, Larry. I went back and listened to your Og 3205 episode of BCT. In case you are still wanting to know, I heard about your show by looking for Jeff Bishop's show. After hearing him on main menu. Somehow, I got a hold of your best of the best file. I have listened to many episodes of your show and find it informative as well as relaxing to listen to. I actually like all the background noises during your walks to and from work. I grew up in Indianapolis and the summer sounds there in Louisville remind me of the ones in Indy. Here in Minnesota, where I live, the summer evenings are very quiet, at least in the metro area. I haven't do use many talking devices and would be willing to review any of them for your listeners if you think it is warranted. I use the i.dmate2 which you have already demonstrated on your podcast. It is a great invention, and helps me every day at my job, in the vending program. I have the usual assortment of talking devices around the house, talking caller ID, talking watches and clocks, talking indoor-outdoor thermometer, talking scale, jaws for windows, talking measuring tape, talking blood pressure monitor, and a talking cell phone via TALX. There are probably more, but I can't think of them just now. Most of these items have been reviewed on either main menu or on your podcast. I am into music, and have ripped my CD collection onto my hard drive. I currently have 545 discs, each stored as a subfolder to my MP3 folder. I use an external Creative Sound Blaster sound card with a coaxial digital connection into my Hello have been reviewed on either main menu or on your podcast. I am into music. Home stereo to enjoy the music. JAWS makes it all accessible, and the RF wireless keyboard makes it easy to control song playback from the living room. I simply rely on the Windows Explorer and the ID3 tags to browse around in my music files. I use the coaxial connection in place of the optical simply because I can use a longer cord between the two rooms, under the floor, through the basement. Well, keep up the good work, and count me and Mary, my wife, as two of your latest listeners. We really liked the sound seeing tour of Dallas and look forward to going back and downloading previous tours on your list in iPod or. We also use handheld digital recorders in our jobs, as notepads, if you will, so are very interested in the digital recorder subject. My wife a Olympus recorder, and even their basic models have good quality playback. I still use my discontinued VoiceIt because I can leave it in my shirt pocket, and even though it has lackluster sound quality, it is very accessible, and all controls are feelable, and it works perfectly for my job. I tried using other models by Sony and Panasonic, but they were just too difficult to operate without vision. Thanks to your show, I will now update my version of Rockbox for my Archos player. Is there any secrets on how to use the speech capabilities of the latest version? I have been using version 2.0, and if it had the speech option in it, I never saw it there. Well, I will now unbend your ear and return to finish the Og 3205 episode which is paused in Windows Media Player. Oh yes, by the way, is there a way to get iPodder to use Winamp, instead of WMP? Thanks.
I think if you make Winamp your default player, it should work in iPodder as your player. If any of you have information other than that, let me know. I haven't tried it yet. I just leave Media Player as my default player. To get that Rockbox firmware where it speaks, you have to actually download their voice files and drop them into a folder on the device. There's a lot of good information about how to do that. Just go to the wiki page on rockbox.org and select the speech FAQ. And it'll give you the full details about where to download the font, as they call it, the voice font, and where to put it in your structure on your hard disk. Highly recommend it. And yeah, I would love to have some reviews of the tape measure in particular. The blood pressure hadn't been mentioned here. The blood pressure monitor. and the indoor-outdoor thermometer. So yeah, anytime you can provide some of that information, that would be very useful and appreciated. And glad to have you as listeners to the show.
Larry, first wanted to point out that with BCT 130, the piece on Debbie's career, I had tried skipping backward and so forth, but continued to get seek failures. Just thought I'd point this out along with the other problems I have had with the voiceover tutorial MP3 files. Now listening to the podcast on your way to work, and you talk about doing a PayPal gig, where we could help folks get gear and so forth. I have a couple of ideas, and one is I have a PayPal account, and I'd be happy to offer my account for any such program. What I was also thinking is perhaps if there is enough interest, we could do a group purchase of mics and other gear that would help folks get into podcasting. There is a lot to be said on the concept of group purchasing. I did this for several projects as a ham. I did a massive project where I created pins, tie tacks, and earrings that featured a JP38 hand key used for sending Morse code. I also did another where I purchased books at a really great savings and offered them to hams. I didn't make any money really other than the few generous folk who sent a little extra and told me to take my wife out supper cause I ran her wild with the pin project. I mean, man, we were taking orders, packing, shipping, and all that fun stuff. I can't recall the exact number, but I think I sold over 1,000 of these, and it was nuts. I'd be willing to see what it would take to get a group buy on stuff, if you'd like, if we came up with a package consisting of the recorder and mic best suited to the widest audience possible. I know this is super. Larry, subjective in many ways, but if we came up with a configuration that would work most the majority of folks, we might be onto something. Of course, if you could hurry up and get the next generation BP out with all the features I'm thinking of, that would solve a lot of these problems. Grinier, the one that does it all in a PKG the size of a pack of smokes, that runs on batteries that never need charging, just crank it a few times, and off we go for 100 hours of runtime. Okay, well, I got off track and ran wild, but hey, what do you think? This might be possible, but I'd be happy to help make it happen. Scott Bottom.
Scott, I think that's an excellent idea. Let's get some feedback from some other people to see if, well, A, anyone would be willing to contribute, and how we can work out the logistics of, you know, getting some equipment to some people. And, you know, I hate to be the negative one, but I've got a feeling that getting the equipment back from the people might not be that easy. So it might be that we could start some kind of fund that could just get equipment to them, just to let them use from then on, and hope and expect that they would contribute some sound seeing tours and some life profiles or career profiles of their particular situation. But yeah, I definitely want to explore this idea some more, and appreciate your generous offer to help coordinate it. Let's hear from some other of you listeners out there. Scott, you're actually the only one that has responded to that idea, so I think it's going to take more than just you and I to make that happen. I know this podcasting has got some real social benefits to blind people, and we just need to kind of poke and push and find, in, you know, the right areas to explore and expand this media and making this happen for more people. So I appreciate your offer there, and you're right, we do need to get that 100 hour on a couple of crank bookboard out there, and that'll solve all our problems.
Hi Larry, here's a mystery sound for you. Chris G. Chris Gaxu.buffalo.
Oh yeah, mystery sounds. You guys, come on now. Nobody's even guessed at the last one. So I'm going to leave it as an open-ended. Maybe Debbie Norling can give us a little more background on it. I knew it was going to be a tough one, but Chris has submitted one here, and we will play it at the end of the email. And, well, we'll go ahead and play it now.
Let's see. Media publisher, track it, line T. No tab, direct empty pods. BCT, down, iPod or Power Media Pub, inbox, Outlook pod. My document, BCT, studio recorder, document 1. Edit box. File name N. Look and I. bctcareer.mp, ms4.wop2020.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mike.
ms3.wop2American.
Welcome to Blind.
Tour American Printing House. Edit box. File name
that?
NR American Printing House for the Blind Part 1. ST. Dialogue. Dialogue open. Look. Go to last folder. Look and I. Down. 404 combo box.
Okay.
Studio
let's,
recorder.
Let's try this.
Mystery sound. Browse off. Chris Gaxu. Buffalo. A00001. Windows Media Player.
Okay. That's our mystery sound for this time.
Mystery sound. Context. Menu. Mystery sound. A00. Chris Gaxu. Buffalo. Hi Larry, I have an idea about something that maybe you could cover on the future Blind Cool Tech. I was browsing the app catalog when I came across something I found odd. It said upgraded Braille and Speak Scholar. I myself am not a Braille and Speak user and have not been one for a few years now. But maybe you could demonstrate as to what is new into this new upgraded Braille and Speak. As always, enjoying your podcasts. Keep up the great work. By the way, did I mention that I have started my own podcast? It's at http://richkov.webhook.org/wprss2.php. Thanks, Richkov. Valero, check up.
Okay, let's give you that URL a little more coherently.
Set up and of not what is new in as all keep up. By the way, it's at http://richcov.webhook.org/wp-rss2.php.
Okay.
T.H. Rich.
Thank you, Rich, and I'm enjoying your podcast. I like the school sound seeing tour one especially.
South River Technologies, dear.
Okay.
Hi, Larry. I used to be getting all of your iPodder downloads using iPodder 2.01, but due to a hard drive reformat that I was forced to accomplish, I lost the address to subscribe again. When I went to your site, I can now not find any link that allows me to subscribe using anything but the commercial programs like...
Okay, yeah, we covered that a little earlier.
Hi, Larry. I got the welcome message for the email list, but there's no info about how to post messages. How do we do that? Thanks, and the career podcasts are really great. I guess fascinating would be a more descriptive word. I hope Marley's Saturday got better. At the end of your career podcast, she was worried about her feet. I keep forgetting to mention one of my favorite parts of the Daily Commute podcasts is when you and Jake get home, and he gets his huge drink of water, and then rolls around and makes noises and carries on. It's so funny, I guess my neighbors wonder why I'm laughing so hard. Thanks for keeping that in the podcast, from Mary Bottom.
thanks, Mary. That Jake is a nut. When I heard Donna Slater describing her dog Rachel, that reminds me of Jake. Jake's actually one of those that I can't leave by himself either. He's my fifth dog, and he's the first one I've ever had that I couldn't totally just trust anywhere. But he's a great worker and a lovable guy. He's right down here with me right now, in fact. But glad you enjoy that aspect of it. To actually send messages to the Blind Cool Tech mail list, the address is blindcooltech@freelists.org. And we provided the subscription information already.
Hi, JSpeak is a voice input output technology. This technology relies on Dragon Naturally Speaking Professional with JAWS for Windows. This technology is yet to be released with a prospective release date of June-July next year. It gives access on all elements of Dragon Naturally Speaking, with approximately 10,000 voice-based commands for controlling JAWS and Windows. It will function in any application in terms of its text repetition regardless of whether JAWS has scripts. And through an easy-to-use scripting language not part of JAWS or Dragon can be totally extended. If anybody would like further info, please feel free to contact me. Email sean.farrowscenefarrow.co.uk or Skype sean.farrow. Regards, Sean. Bottom.
All right, let's give you that
Bottom,
address.
Sean. Regards. Or Skype sean.farrow. sean.farrowscenefarrow.co.uk. sean.farrow@senfarrow.co.uk.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. And that's going to do it for our email. Phew, this turned out to be a long show today.
Studio recorder document 1.
Let's see
studio pointer routed recording over. Recording over. 129.29.
Hour and a half already. All right, let's finish up with our media upload.
Advanced
here.
Notice of new voice input. Our media publisher. Our media publisher. Quit. Button.
Yeah, I think it's up there.
Our media publisher. Uploading to our media done. Your file has been sent to our media and the Internet Archive for free hosting and storage. Your work is being processed and should be available in less than an hour at this URL. http://media.org. Via details, Larry Scutcheon, 148 Donna Slater career. Your file is...
Okay, so... We're going to go back to track it.
Studio advanced notice of track it line cool tech 147 results.
And we're going to
keywords. Donna Slater career.
Generate the web page.
Dialog track it line cool tech 100. About. Or media pub studio record advanced note T. Note tab pros direct MP3 pods. BCT down iPod or media pub inbox outlook X pod. My documents. BCT line cool tech Microsoft. In-
there it is. Let's go click on the Donna Slater career link.
Donna Slater career link.
And when we are sure that that actually will play, then we'll use a batch file that will actually upload the web page. Now, the content is already up there on our media, but the web page and the RSS feed, the XML file, are not yet on the Blind Cool Tech site. So while we're waiting for that, the first time you access this, it's actually a little bit slow, but it should start playing here in a moment. While we're waiting on that, we will provide you with our contact information, and that is that you can reach us on the comment line at 206-984-9203. Our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our web address is blindcooltech.com. The place to subscribe to the Blind Cool Tech email list is, well, I'll tell you what, let's refer people to blindcooltech.com so that this section of the program doesn't get too long and out of control. And there's links there that show you
Hi
what
everyone.
The feed is. Okay, there's Donna.
Today, rather than doing a sound sleep,
okay, so we know that the link's good now.
10-3-20-05 Donna Slate.
So what we'll do is go back to our BCT folder.
Track it for Media Pub Studio Advanced Note E. Note tab for direct M pods. BCT. BCT. Upweb.bat.
And there's
Size
a folder.
One K,
there's a batch file.
RSS. Upweb.bat, one file list.
Called upweb.bat.
That's
going to transfer everything
BCT.
For me up there. And that's it. Now, one thing I do also is that the feed burner, I've got my bct.xml forwarded to a feed burner account. And that actually doesn't get updated for a half an hour or so. So there's actually a link that I can do that right now.
Desktop.
So
studio
we can go
recorder,
to
feed validator, feed burner ping 19 of 40.
We can do feed burner ping.
Cool tech, my, ping feed bur-
and
ping feed burner button. Ping feed burner button.
And that's done. So now I should be able to go into iPodder, and this
line.
Donna Slater career should show up as one of the
T.
items.
Note tab,
let's pro see.
Direct MP pods. Down. iPod or podcast receiver V2.1.
Let's go to subscriptions.
View alt V. No selected item. Shane's rants. State
and
subscribed
we'll
MP. Been there. Blind spot state. Byron's journal. Blog of VM. Blind chance state. Blind access journal. Double travel. Between the blind kiss talk. Blind cool tech state.
Now we'll hit tab to go to the subscriptions.
No selected item list view. Donna Slater career.
There
state
it is.
To download MB33.8 location HTTP. Larry Scutcheon career state. Downloaded MB33. Chris Grabowski career. State ID Simon 3 demo.
Okay, so that's essentially how that works. And boy, we are going to go now. This has been way too long a podcast. I apologize for the length, but I think you'll agree we had some good information to share with you from our listeners, and love doing this probably weekly. Maybe we need to do it twice a week. All right, this is Larry Scutcheon signing out, and we'll see you guys next time.